expected attack, but it didn't come, and they heard the runts chanting something musical. Jack worked the bolt on the AK-47 to clear a jam.
Trick!
Ryan lowered his blaster.
No, I think they mean it. We aced their god.
Huh, so now we're the gods?
Care to test that theory?
JB kept a steady two-handed grip on the Colt. Stepping out of the cab, the one-eyed warrior approached the crackling corpse and saw the runts scamper away from him, bowing their heads respectfully.
Speak talk?
Ryan stood brazen in the beam of the headlight.
We speak?
The runt was dressed in armor like the female warriors, with a spear and leather shield. There was an elaborate weave of bones in his graying hair.
Machine God no kill! We worship!
Aichi, you no talk machine God!
Machine God?
Machine gun God is more like it.
As the challenger strode forward, Ryan calmly shot the chief dead, and the rest covered their faces in fear.
No kill! No kill!
You, chief.
Ryan took the shield of the aced runt and handed it to the old runt. Astonished, the mutie accepted the shield with reverence, then stood tall before the others.
Bow before new chief!
The new chief sprayed spittle from his loose-lipped mouth as he spoke. The others obeyed, moaning the song once more. Facing the much larger Norm, the chief went to one knee and lowered his misshapen head.
What machine god want us do?
Ryan rested the stock of the Kalashnikov on his hip.
Return to your homes. We follow.
Yes, god.
And bring best rats. Many mushrooms.
Bring all?
Trying not to choke on the stink of the burning slug, Ryan knew food had to be very scarce down here.
One rat for each finger and toe. Then I give great gift.
Gift?
Magnanimously, Ryan waved a hand at the dead creature.
Eat fill of old god, make strong.
The chief runt could only gawk at the incredible offer. He tried several times, and finally managed to speak.
Hail, machine god!
On cue, the rest repeated the words. But one young male mumbled something under his breath. Turning, the chief charged at the heretic and smashed the leather shield on the youth's head again and again until he dropped senseless to the tunnel floor.
No challenge, gods! Obey! Obey! Obey!
The remaining runts doubled the level of their cheering while several began to loot the body of their fallen leader.
What now?
JB sidled closer. Acting casual, he tucked the Colt into the holster, but he kept his hand on the butt of the blaster.
We take the food and get back inside the redoubt. After that, we eat and lay some plans. Maybe the runts here can help us get through the wall around the ville.
Better than that. See the rock wall over there? Remember the huge explosion we heard when we first approached the Shiloh base? That was their stone quarry exploding during an avalanche.
Jack looked at the bodies laying near the crushed wag.
Overseers?
Yep. Just on the other side of those rocks is their base.
Dark night. We got a back door.
With a stern expression, Ryan started toward the wall, then paused.
We only get one chance at this. We dig our way out, and the Blues will find the hole pretty damn fast. Gotta do this at night, and with more weps.
Which means we have to chance a jump.
Doc wrapped the tape around the handle of a Gren, carefully sliding the pin back into position. He eased the charge into the canvas bag and took his sword stick by the top. At this range, the Grens were useless, but his Spanish steel would make short work of the primitive troglodytes.
A jump.
Shouldering the long blaster, Ryan started to walk through the worshipping mob of little muties.
Do we have another choice?
The tall grass almost reached the obslid of Alpha Team's LAB-25 as it traveled through the waving expanse of wild wheat stalks. Breaking to a halt in the middle of a rolling field, the driver set the brakes but didn't kill the engine, the big Detroit power plant chugging over steadily. The vented muzzles of AK-47 long blasters jutted from every blaster port. One of the back doors was swung open, and Private Michaels stepped to the ground, blaster in hand. Some birds pecked at apples in a tree, and somewhere nearby a stream babbled over stones. A loon called for its mate, and a swarm of bees buzzed around the rusted hollow of a mailbox jutting from the ground.
Keep me covered, boys.
Michaels holstered his piece and opened the heavy wooden case hanging at his side. Extracting the sextant, he shot the sun and started the simple calculations.
Well?
Soft wind ruffling his hair, Lieutenant Brandon stood in the open hatch of the turret, an arm draped across the 25-millimeter cannon.
We're in Kentucky.
The private concentrated, his pencil busy. Then he looked up.
Yep. This is where the dish and some pissant villa are supposed to be.
No structures were visible, for as far as they could see. Only gently rolling hills of low grass, some mountains to the north, and a young forest to the west. The lieutenant scowled.
You sure?
Michaels carefully double-checked the compass, and then the sextant once more.
Yes, sir. This is the area. Map shows a big city dish right here where we're standing.
City, not city.
Sure. What does that mean, anyway?
Brandon had no idea, but would never admit a weakness in front of his troops.
Shut up. That's barren stuff.
The man accepted the rebuff and packed the sextant into its cushioned box. He knew the pre-dark instrument was much more valuable than him, and took extra special care of it. If it got broken by his hand, he died.
Okay, get out and stretch your legs. Hit the latrine and let's get some coffee on. We got 200 more miles to the next dish.
As the sec-man climbed from the wag and started to gather wood for the campfire, Brandon heard an odd thunder in the distance. Glancing at the sky, the sec-man saw purple clouds, laced with fiery orange and crackling with sheet lightning. Nothing unusual there, yet the noise got steadily louder, and the Blues moved toward the APC, grabbing their rifles and checking clips.
Davies, take the 25-millimeter. Tell us if you see anything.
The man popped into the LAV and started up the short ladder to the turret when men on horseback galloped into view from the valley below. The riders were half hidden by their mounts, but the sec-men could still see the males were stark naked and heavily covered with scars and decorative patterns. Their long golden hair was streaming wildly, and the newcomers had wide oriental eyes and dark skin. Bandoliers of ammo crossed their broad chests, and blasters rode at every hip, yet they carried long spears in their hands.
Fucking cold hearts. Ace them and take their blasters.
The sec men cut loose with their Kalashnikovs, the rounds hitting man and beast with little effect. A Blue cursed and rummaged for a box of Grens when the top turret of the LAV-25 rotated to point the 25-millimeter cannon at the horsemen. The electric Gatling whined for a moment, building speed, then cut loose with a roaring scream of destruction. Riders and horses exploded into grisly bits as the high explosive shells tore through their flesh. The first line of riders vanished in the brief salvo. With amazing precision, the other barbs reared their horses, walking them about on hind legs, then started to gallop away from the armored war wag.
Again!
The Gatling roared, and half a dozen more of the riders were blown to pieces under its furious assault before the rest made it to the safety of the ridge and disappeared.
Won't be seeing them again. Now, how about that coffee?
Suddenly, a row of riders rose from behind the hill, their long spears soaring into the air before cresting their arc and descending toward the sec-men with fearful accuracy. The Blues scattered, but it was too late. One caught a spear in the shoulder, the lance going completely through and burying itself to the hilt in the soft soil. Another was caught through the boot, a third in the hand, his long blaster smashed to pieces. Trying to step out of the way of the falling missiles, Michaels was hit in the mouth, the barbed lance going straight down his throat and out his ass, impaling the man like a pig on a spit. Still horribly alive, the Blue lashed his arms about feebly, unable to scream with the wooden shaft completely filling his torn and bleeding gullet. A steady stream of red trickled out, forming a puddle around his boots. Cursing vehemently, the lieutenant fired from the hip, blowing Michael's head off, and the grisly corpse stopped moving.
Kill those motherfucks!
And the LAV-25 rolled to the crest of the hill. The silent riders were galloping madly along the valley plain below, way beyond the range of the ineffective Kalashnikovs. A soft electric whine heralded the roar of the 25-millimeter cannon, coming to deadly life again, spraying annihilation onto the distant cold hearts. The ground behind the horsemen churned with explosions as the armor-piercing rounds hit the soil and detonated. The noise and spray urged the barbs on, but the Gatling swept over the riders, killing the men and animals indiscriminately. Only a single rider made it to the trees and disappeared from sight. The sec-men at the Gatling drilled a couple of short bursts into the greenery, then stopped wasting ammo. Standing on a hilltop, Brandon fired a few rounds from his blaster at the escaping killer, then slapped in a fresh clip. Turning, he saw the carnage of his squad. 3 badly wounded, 1 dead. As Brandon walked,